We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike, let's go!
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to get done tonight, and we're hoping that tonight's show is as informative as it is fun. We're going to spend a lot of time tonight breaking down the Bulls draft with some great guests that we've had on the show over the last week, and I think that you will appreciate their point of view. One of them is Cody Westerlin, who is a part of our staff here at The Score. And he did a piece that I think that you'll find interesting on 670thescore.com. I'll get to that a little bit later on. I also want to talk about the Cubs and the defense that they played today. We'll get to that. Theo Epstein was on the station. I want to share some of the things that he had to say with the midday show, because I think that you might find that interesting. And we got two of these, Herbie, two scholarships. We're going to give away two scholarships tonight for the youth basketball summer camp of the Chicago Bulls. Two. So, be listening for how to win. If you want to win for your son or daughter, right, can go. Or, you know, your niece or nephew or someone like that. We will definitely hook you up, courtesy of BullsSoxAcademy.com. The crew. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer of this fine program. Mike Chen is in charge of the sound. And Shane Reardon is just hanging out until his train. Having shrimp. Just walked out of the room, walked back with a cup of shrimp. And we're like, where was the cup of shrimp? He's like, no, I was just around. He must have a good hiding place, because the Score refrigerator is usually a place where your snacks go to die. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago, and this segment is being brought to you by Boost Mobile. Switch to Boost and get three lines, each with unlimited gigs for $100 a month, plus 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. There's a lot of Cubs stuff that I would like to get to in the first hour of the show before we really kind of turn it on and start talking about the Bulls and getting ready for the draft. Nice win for the Cubs today. And winning with defense. Schwarber with the great throw to make it so that a runner doesn't go. Maybe people have finally learned not to run on Schwarber. Then, next play. Jason Hayward. I don't know if he needs any work in baseball, considering the amount of money that he's going to make over the span of his contract is big-time dollars. What did Jason sign for? $160 million? Like $164 million for Jason Hayward? So he might not ever have to work again. But if he ever wants to work, I would love to see Jason Hayward do his own Tom Emanski baseball video, because that dude is absolute perfection in the outfield. You see him measuring his steps, lining up the throw, and then he's got that hose throwing people out, and that's a great catch by Contreras. You know how hard that short hop is? A lot of guys let that ball go by, or they try to body it. He catches it and puts the tag on simultaneously and then throws the ball on the roof of the building. That's cool. You have that play. You have Baez with the dive tag. El Mago doing El Mago type things. Chris Bryant with a diving stop in foul territory, not even looking at Rizzo, and lets it fly with a zzz. And then Rizzo with the great stretch to get the runner at first place. I bet his hamstrings are dying today because there's a lot of stretching going on for an Anthony Rizzo. Get that groin stretched out. And then Almora with the diving catch. So the Cubs defense was on display, and they should be one of the better defensive teams because of the amount of athletes they have out there. There have been times this year when they have not been, but it was cool to watch that. Like, it was enjoyable. JD actually talked a little bit about it during the broadcast. He was saying how, look, it's a baseball game because the balls were in play. Instead of strikeout, home run, strikeout, 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 home run. You had the ball in play. Guys were on their toes. The game was well pitched. And you're good. I enjoy that. Like, it's a lot of fun. They talk with Bryant on Sunday night. I think it was him and Rizzo, right? They talk with Brizzo, and they said, which is better, defense or a great defensive play or a home run? And Bryant was like, if someone tells you defense, they've never hit a home run before. But straight up and down, and I only hit two in my like entire baseball career, but straight up and down, watching those guys play defense at that level was a lot of fun today. And usually you get one of those, maybe a game. Like, it was, you know what was crazy about it? It was like everyone was like, oh yeah, watch this. You think that's great? Watch this play that I'm going to make. So pretty much their whole diamond, right? The whole diamond made some sort of great play today. Even, was it Zobrist with the bunt made a great play today. So you had all sorts of stuff going on. Was that yesterday? Was that last night? I just had a good time watching it. It was a lot of fun for me. Here's what I wanted to talk about. I was going to do this yesterday, and I feel bad that this topic is going to happen today because it's going to seem like an affront to Fitz, but it's not meant to be an affront to Fitz. I would like to talk about the seventh inning stretch because I came to a realization in game one of yesterday's doubleheader. It's a feeling that I've always felt, and I haven't truly been able to verbalize. And I finally figured it out yesterday. I would like to play for you the seventh inning stretch from the first game yesterday. And it was Harry Carey on the Jumbotron.
It's time to take a look at the old video board and the late great Harry Carey.
On two. On three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever give back all its roots. Root for the Cubs. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
So I really like when they do the video board with Harry Carey. And I've always felt that guest conductors is not the greatest idea, with a few exceptions, which I'll get to in a minute. The reason that it finally crystallized in my head, watching people sing the stretch yesterday in game one with the video board, the reason that I like it so much is that it's the actual tradition. I also like how hard Harry goes with the take to start things off. Mike, load it up again And then just after he says the first take, take it out. I like how hard Harry, like, he's like, take. And everyone knows to get on board. Run it again.
It's time to take a look at the old video board and the late, great Harry Carey.
On two. On three. Take.
That's hard right there. Let's go. Harry Carey's like, you better get into this. But the tradition of all the guest conductors is, of course, based on Harry doing the anthem. And we're now, what, 20 years from Harry's passing. So if you're a kid, if you're in college or finishing college or grad school right now or just out in the workforce, you don't have any memory of Harry Carey singing the seventh inning stretch. For the most part, you've just heard stories about it. You know it's a tradition, but you didn't share in the tradition. And for me, I've always felt like if you do the videos of Harry more, then you can attach people who didn't experience it live with that tradition more often. Like, no disrespect to Fitz. Fitz did the seventh inning stretch today. He did a fine job with it. He actually took it seriously and it went well. But if I go to a Cubs game and Pat Fitzgerald is singing the seventh inning stretch, it's like, oh, that's cool. But it's not the same. Like, there is a level of Cub or star power that should be allowed to sing the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, no one really cares if Fitz sings a song.
Okay. We know you guys are beefing. Has he unblocked you on Twitter yet?
No.
Okay.
I told him way too much truth, and he was like, nah, I'm good.
Told him that Illini truth, huh?
Well, no, not just – no, I just told him about it himself, and then he was like, nah, I'm good.
I wish you guys would stop fighting. Has Cap unblocked you yet?
No.
He said he didn't want any more smoke.
Well, that's Cap.
Cap, unblock Herb. All right?
I'm good.
Fitz, unblock Herb, please.
I'm just trying to now aim for every Big Ten coach to block me in football. Because you know how I was a big-time follower and big-time supporter of our guy rowing the boat up there, PJ Fleck. When he moved to Minnesota, blocked me.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, I know what you call that state now.
Oh, it's definitely that now. And every time the Illini play, I want them to run it up.
Row the boat blocked you?
Blocked me. The biggest supporter of Row the Boat down here.
Wow, Pete. That's a bad look, PJ Fleck.
And once I did it, I was like, hey, you know, once he moved to Minnesota, I was like, you know what? I love PJ Fleck, but, you know, it's going to be battle time. It's Illinois versus Minnesota. They're both in the West Division, so let's go.
We've been rowing the boat down here for a long time.
Rowing the boat right after he got that first winning season in Western Michigan. Everybody was like, you're crazy if you want him at Illinois. I'm like, no, I want him here. Blocked me as soon as he got to Minnesota.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I'm hunting every other Big Ten coach down. I'm just going to talk some trash to them, see if they can block me too.
Yeah. Well, let's see if Lovey blocks you. He hasn't blocked me, which is shocking. I'm literally shocked. No, figuratively. Texter says, Billy Williams sang last night for his 80th birthday. His number's retired. He's allowed to. Yes. Yes. That's a level of Cub that deserves to do it. If Ron Santo were alive, yes. If Ernie Banks was alive, yes.
Les Lancaster.
No. If Rhino wants to sing the stretch, great.
Mike Bielecki.
No, he cannot do it. Not allowed. All I'm saying is that there is something to the tradition aspect. If you want to share that tradition, I think that there needs to be a fairly clear line in the sand drawn on this thing. And I'm okay if I have to go it alone. I just think that for tradition's sake, the more times they can play Harry singing the stretch, I think it's a better move. I think that the crowd itself is more into it. And you know why? Because they already know the cadence of it. Some guys, you don't know. You don't know how Elizabeth Moss is going to sing the stretch. So you got to wait. Someone said Damon Berryhill. No. Sosa, yes. But they won't let him in. So, yes, I think Sammy, I think that should be the way. Like, the Cubs shouldn't even tell anybody. The Cubs should just, all of a sudden, Sammy Sosa pops up. And Pat Hughes is like, well, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Here's Sammy Sosa. And then we go. It's just, it really hit me very clearly yesterday that if the concept is the tradition, and I get it, that when the Cubs were bringing people in, it was those people trying to show their respect for Harry Caray, their love for Harry Caray, and singing the song. But for me, from now, like in my world, Ryan Terrio, no. Sean Dunstan, yes. Yeah.
Henry Rodriguez.
Ooh, the old Henry bar. Do they still make old Henry bars?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got your own candy bar, you probably get to do it. Doug DeCenzo? No. No. No, none of those guys get to do it. Mark Grace, if he's out of jail, sure. He gets to do it. Will Ferrell doing Harry? No. We got to stop that. It's Will Ferrell's fault that Ryan Dempster does a terrible Harry Caray impersonation, which is really just his impersonation of Will Ferrell doing Harry Caray. So, no. Although Will Ferrell is the level of star that I would capitulate to. You got to be like, you know, it's got to be someone significant that rolls through there to allow them to sing the stretch. And I say it for tradition's sake. Bill Murray, fine. He's on the list. But Jeff Garland?
John Cusack.
I don't think so. He thinks so, but I don't think so. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why it should be Harry, like, most of the time. If you'd like to talk about it, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us at 67011. CM Punk, no. As much as I love Punk, there are a lot of people in the crowd that have no idea who he is. There are people who don't remember Punk as a wrestler now. He's just the guy that gets beat up in UFC. So people are like, Eddie Vedder? I guess because he made that whiny song. And like, I saw them doing an ad for that song today during the game, and I was like, they already went all the way. Do your happy song now, Eddie. Get your happy song ready. It doesn't have to be the sad maudlin. Oh, win someday. They won. This is a terrible Eddie Vedder. Chip Carey, Chip's got a job. But yeah, when Atlanta comes, is he with Atlanta still? When Atlanta comes to town, fine.
And then he yells, go Braves.
Did he really?
I think he did last time.
Bad guy. That's a bad move. Just walk away. Horace Grant. No, no, no. If Jordan wants to come sing the stretch, great. I'll even look, Scottie Pippen's my favorite player. And he does love this Cubs team. During their World Series run, Scottie was up in there. I saw Scottie a lot. A lot. Mike, he was everywhere.
Quick side note, did you happen to see Kobe breaking down Scottie's defense?
No.
It is absolutely fantastic.
I'm not paying for that.
No, it wasn't. It was free.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook.
Okay.
It was absolutely fantastic. For about 2 minutes, he breaks down Scottie's defense just on one play. It was amazing.
Well, Scottie is – people don't even realize – people who didn't sit and watch Scottie Pippen play don't really have a great concept of how great a player he was and all the things that he can do. And once we got to the point where he had decided that he wasn't scared of the Pistons anymore, like, what an incredible player. Oh, my God. My heart's fluttering even thinking about it. Remember that mountain the Bulls had to climb? We were like, man, are they ever going to be able to beat the Pistons? And then they were like, then they muscled up, and they were like, Mike went to the gym. Scotty stopped being afraid. Horace started pushing people around. And then punk-ass Isaiah walked off the floor. He's still trying to defend that. I saw him on STL a couple weeks ago talking that nonsense. Well, Larry Bird walked off. Nobody cares. Y'all were awful. Shout out, wasn't Joe Dumars like the only guy? Was it Joe Dumars and Sally were like the only guys that like congratulated them? I still have a lot of hate. Ooh. For those bad boy Pistons teams. The stuff that they put me through. Shoving people and then got mad when they got dunked on. This conversation went in a completely different direction. But my point was that Scottie Pippen, like, during the Cubs World Series run, like, on a couple nights, I was like, oh, Scottie's here. And I was like, oh, Scottie's here again. Him and Joe Maddon, like, chopping it up pregame and stuff. Champion versus champion. Okay. We'll take a break. If you want to jump in on this, 312-644-6767 is the number. And Theo Epstein said something really interesting about the Cubs rotation. I want to share that with you next here on The Score. We're sitting here talking about the Cubs and the Bulls come up and the Pistons come up and I start getting mad. Like, I'm so mad right now. Like, it's rare. The thing about me in sports is stuff that happened after I became a professional, like I have very little emotion attached to it. But the stuff that happened when I was a kid, man, I'll never be over that thing. I don't care what tour Isaiah is putting himself on where he's trying to do this revisionist history BS. I'm still mad about it. Still. I bet Mike's still mad too. Ooh. Now I'm going to read you a text message from someone who did not see Scottie Pippen play but wanted to be in on the conversation. Ready? 262 texter says, yeah, Pippen was so good. He could sure make a wide open dunk when Jordan dished him the ball with three defenders drawn away. You are clearly someone who never saw Scottie Pippen play.
Is that Tony texting in?
Probably. Now, if you wanted to say that about Paxson or Kerr, it would still be inaccurate, but it would be more accurate. To say that about Pippen is just dumb. Anyway, to your phone calls. But not before I tell you, Northwestern football, you know, their coach saying 7th-inning stretch today. The Wildcats are coming off a 10-win season. Take that, Herb. They host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com.
Wheat North's finest. Let them sell 10 wins.
Rod.
Clayton Thorson.
Yeah, we get it. You act like that's the only reason, but it's fine. Gary's out in Rogers Park. Hey, Gary, you're on The Score.
I got 2 points to make. I just want to ask, wouldn't you want to get somebody like a Harry Carey to sing the 7th-inning stretch a majority of the time, not having guests all the time?
Yeah, that's what I'm advocating.
And then my second thing is the Bulls. You know what I saw was when Cartwright came in with those sharp elbows of his, that was a very big important part for the Bulls' victories.
I appreciate the phone call. Texas says I should get Vincent Goodwill. No, I'm not going to have Vinny Goodwill and his Detroit propaganda on this show. Vincent Goodwill is a fine journalist, one of the best in the city. If I want to talk Bulls with him, great. This era of the Bulls, the one that he covers. I'm not going in the Wayback Machine with Vincent Goodwill and his slander when it comes to the Pistons and the Bulls. He knows where I stand on this. I know where he stands on that, and we can still break bread together. But I will not be using these airwaves to allow TASS, Detroit's version of TASS, to come out here and tell you lies. Shout out to Vincent Goodwill. AJ is driving around. Hey, AJ, you're on the score.
How's it going, Lauren?
Things are good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, I'm right on board with you with this Harry Caray stuff. My only problem with it is they always use the same Harry Caray video. Now, what they could do, they could have access to an entire catalog of Harry Caray videos, and on June 20th, they can play a June 20th video of Harry from 30 years ago. And they could do that for every game. They could play a different video from that many years ago from that same date, though.
I think you're probably doing too much. Maybe there's a day game video and a night game video, but you're doing the most where it's matching up the dates. You just need one version. Did Jim Ossarski tweet me all the way from Cincinnati? Doesn't he have Bengals practice to cover or something? And say, did Harry sing on the South Side? Yes, it originated over there. Why we got to do this? Why, Jim?
I'm glad he wasn't listening the other day when that Cincinnati slander was going down.
No, I mean, I name-checked him. He knows the Skyline Chili is trash. Cubs are going to go in there. If it doesn't rain, they're going to beat the snot out of Cincinnati as per usual. Ooh, speaking of slander, how about Mike Trout? Man, Mike Trout said your Bears are trash and said the Browns are going to have more wins. You might be right. Shh, don't tell anyone I said that, but he might be right. Shh. Let's go out to Wheeling. And Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mr. Holmes. Big fan and appreciate it. You touched on a lot of things, but normally I always agree with you, and that's why I'm calling in now is I agree with you once again. Nobody sings the seventh inning stretch like Harry. And since he started doing it for the Cubs, that's when it became, you know, really a thing. And as you being in the business, I've also been in other stadiums. The seventh inning stretch isn't the same anywhere else than it is in Wrigley. So I agree with you. Keep it simple. Just have one or two versions. But, you know, instead of people that either don't know the words to the song or forget the words to the song because they're nervous, just had Harry do it.
Yeah.
Nobody did it better.
There are people that are really nervous doing it. They had Bubba Watson in there, and it was great. Like, Bubba Watson before the game was out, like, driving golf balls into the stands and stuff. But he was, first of all, I didn't know this, that he's apparently afraid of heights. And so now you got him, you know, leaning out the window at the upper deck at Wrigley Field, trying to remember the words to the song. It's no good. Someone bringing up Jeremy Piven. Probably shouldn't invite him anywhere these days. Probably shouldn't. It's a bad look. I promise you some Theo sound. I'm going to get to it. But I will not have this early, late 80s, early 90s Bull slander on this show. I won't have it. Minister of Detroit Propaganda, Vincent Goodwill. Hoffman Estates and Terry. Hey, Terry, you're on the score.
Lawrence, you are brought laughter to my heart after the Cub game today, which was outstanding to me. I'm 68 years young, played the game, and I was watching a baseball game today, as you said earlier. Every inning there was something. It wasn't all strikeouts or home runs, but it was diving catches, players congratulating each other, stops by shortstops, line drives, players were, but the, you know, people don't see on TV is afterwards, they were having fun. I mean, you saw a team having fun and picking up one another. That being said, Lester grounded out today. He really ground out every pitch, and the players were helping him. I think it's wonderful. As far as Isaiah, I don't even think the man, I don't mention his name, I don't like the man after what he did to the Bulls. And anybody who doesn't see what Detroit really did, they were totally disrespectful for us. And they get what they deserve. They haven't been to the championship since, and they never will.
Well, I mean, since 98, neither have the Bulls, so.
Wait, did he say the Pistons haven't been to the championship since?
Well, they won one with big shot Chauncey Billups. And
what the hell?
It's fine.
They're better than us.
Herb. These people don't watch the NBA. It's fine. Bulls haven't won since 98. There's a whole thing in the Tribune about it with Casey Johnson. We talked about this. Can you imagine, though, if Grant Hill would have been healthy, though? Man. Pippen 2.0 right there.
I was telling Tony the other day that Pippen pretty much created the position of point forward.
Correct.
And Tony is so... Like, you know the rapper Future and the whole thing with his wife?
No.
Larsa Pippen?
Oh, yeah.
So Tony takes that as to mean that Pippen wasn't a good player. He, like, looks at Pippen through that lens as, man, your wife got, you know, taken by a different dude, so you must not have been good at basketball. But, and he totally underrates Scottie Pippen.
What does the two have to do with each other?
Nothing, but that's Tony. Tony Gill is kind of crazy like that.
I mean...
And I told him that.
Aren't Scotty and Larsa back together?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so. But Scotty stopped playing a long time ago. Like, and, what? Like,
and I told him yesterday, he was like, man, Scotty was kind of trash. He's like, he was number two. I was like, you know what? When Jordan left, he won 55 games. And without, you know, some
say
shady calls.
Say that stuff.
I mean, I'm going to wait until Les
say
gets
that.
Here at midnight. But
say it.
Hugh Hollins.
The Eastern Conference semifinals. Say it.
The Knicks, phantom call, whatever. They would have went to the Eastern Conference finals at least.
Y'all get me hyped up, man. I remember watching, because, you know, look, like I said before, Scottie's my favorite player. One of my most prized possessions. Scottie signed my wedding photo. Is a great gift from my friend Chelsea. Like, she got a copy of my wedding photo and got Scotty to sign it. And it sits in our living room. Scotty Pippen, HOF. Congratulations to me and Mel. I appreciate that. It's my favorite player, man. Herb, let's get Scotty on the show. He's probably not mad at the score anymore, right? Because there is a time when hopefully he's not mad.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's like Tony.
I don't
stuff doesn't exist because you didn't see it.
I'm kidding. I know it is.
No, I know you do. But that's that stuff that Tony's on. It doesn't exist because you didn't see it. What do you mean Scottie Pippen was great at defense? He's not out there playing now, is he? No, because he's 50. If he was so great at defense, why isn't he out there checking Durant? Because he retired.
Like, literally, I had to tell him that Magic Johnson dominated that first game
yes!
in the 91 finals.
You know why? Because Magic Johnson's one of the greatest players ever. And then Phil was like, hey, Scotty, go guard that guy. And then you didn't hear from Magic Johnson again in the series. You know what they used to call the Bulls defense back then? The Dobermans. Because they would lock your ass up. They pick you up in three-quarter court and smother you man-to-man. They didn't even have to trap.
Didn't they give up like 54 or 58 points to the Utah Jazz with two Hall of Famers on it?
Correct.
In a finals game?
Correct. Now LeBron is bigger than Karl Malone. with John Stockton's handles. That's how much the game has evolved in the last 20 years. That there's a guy, like, remember Karl Malone was like the biggest, baddest dude. It's like, oh man, how are the Bulls going to deal with Karl Malone in the post? This guy's great. John Stockton giving you nut shots as he's going around screens. And now there's a guy who can do all the Jordan stuff, but he's in Karl Malone's body. It's ridiculous. And these guys that you're going to see drafted tomorrow night, now they're, if Michael Porter's healthy, he could be like Durant. Although he thinks that he could be Durant, which has me a little, he said he's like a cross between Giannis and Durant. And I was like, shh, don't let someone else say that, fam. You don't want to be the person saying that. He said he's a cross between Giannis, Durant, and T-Mac.
Yeah, he threw T-Mac at the end, like a sprinkle of T-Mac.
Let someone else say that for you. We'll take a break. Someone said, forget the Theo stuff. This discussion is where is it? No. I got to share the Theo stuff because it's actually important. It's something that Cubs fans should be paying attention to, and I'll share it with you next here on The Score. After 8 o'clock, we're going to get super bullsies as the Bulls get ready to draft the number 7 pick. Unless they make a move, maybe they move up, maybe they move down. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions that you want answered to WBBMNewsRadio.com/legal advice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com/legal advice. And we should tell you that the bottom of the hour, now we're closing, getting closer to the top, is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Make this year the last year you get fed up trying to book your timeshare. If it no longer fits your lifestyle, go to TimeshareExitTeam.com and discover your options for a safe, permanent exit. TimeshareExitTeam.com. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10. Crew, Herb Lawrence, Mike Chen, hanging out. We've been talking about the seventh inning stretch. Dumb people with opinions on Scottie Pippen's defense. And about how great the defense the Cubs played today was. Part of that defense is pitching. We've seen some excellent performances from Mike Montgomery. John Lester has just been dynamite. Kyle Hendricks is Kyle Hendricks. And Jose Quintana is kind of back to being himself for the most part. But it does bring up an interesting point. If and when they get Yu Darvish back this year, and he threw 51 pitches in a simulated game this morning, what do you do? Theo Epstein talked with the Midday Show about that. Here's what he's thinking.
You manage it, and the number one step in managing it is you don't get ahead of yourself. So, you know, we don't have 6 healthy starters right now, and I believe we will at some point. And then you look at the schedule, and if you look at our schedule coming out of the All-Star break, I think we've got a doubleheader, you know, 5 games in 4 days right out of the chute against the Cardinals. So, you know, we're going to need 6 starters over the first 6 days of the second half. And, you know, and then we go from there and see how guys are doing on rest. We've certainly not ruled out the possibility of going with a 6-man rotation for a stretch of time. I don't think it's necessarily a solution for the entire second half, but for a period of time, it certainly can be. And then these things have a way of taking care of themselves. So, you know, number one rule is don't get ahead of yourself. And number two rule is use common sense. So, you know, you use your eyes, watch what the pitchers are doing, what you think you can expect out of each guy, and make good decisions, just putting the team's best interest first.
So at the risk of getting ahead of ourselves, because if we're not getting ahead of ourselves on a talk radio show, then what really are we doing? If you have 6 men in the rotation when you're healthy, it would seem that that's when you've got to do a 6-man rotation. You know, you can't wait till the last month because you might not have 6 healthy guys then. Is that fair that when you've got them, you've got to use them?
Yeah, you just manage it. I mean, you know, July and August can be the dog days, and you know, you're a ways away from expanded rosters in September, and guys can – we only have a 3-day All-Star break this year, and then a doubleheader coming right out of it, and other teams have 4. So it's not the worst time to give guys a little bit of an extra blow. And then also, you know, it's not like all of our starters are going extraordinarily deep in games. you can get creative if you're truly faced with this issue at a certain point before you get to a point of making a move. You could piggyback guys on a given day and give the bullpen a break because we really have taxed our bullpen and we want to make sure we manage that too. So there are a lot of creative ways to get through it and manage it, and including tough decisions that sometimes have to happen. But we're not even close to being there yet. So, again, just don't get ahead of yourself and then use common sense and furtherance of the team's best interest, and things will be fine.
But clearly, they are thinking about that. So if you're one of those people who say, well, why don't they, Montgomery's been great, make sure that he has a spot if and when you Darvish comes back. They're at least thinking about it. Cherville and Pete. Hey, Pete, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Here's my fun spin with the seventh inning stretch. You, whoever whom you have up there singing, you treat them like it's the Gong Show. And Len and the boys in the booth are the executioners. So if they start stinking up the place, you can kill them off and then run Harry.
Yeah, that's not going to work. You also have a limited amount of time between the last out and the first at bat of the next inning. DeKalb and Doug. Hey, Doug, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I wanted to put this out there, and I've been laughed at so many times for saying this, but I think Scottie Pippen was the better defender than Mike. What do you think?
There's an argument for it, but I don't know why if we need to go around in circles on that. Both of them were elite defenders. Pick your poison and what type of guy you were trying to guard. There's plenty of times where Jordan would jump out on a point guard and defend, too. Hey, I want to give away one of these Bulls scholarships. So, if you're the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700, you're going to win a scholarship to an official youth basketball summer camp on the Chicago Bulls, including intensive training in the fundamentals and advanced skills of basketball. For more information, visit BullsSocksAcademy.com. Okay? This is for a kid, by the way, not for you. So if you're calling up, do it with a child learning more about basketball in mind. Hey, Bob, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I just want to, these people that are calling in about how Scottie Pippen, it was Michael and Scottie. Let's face it, Michael without Scottie would have been obviously the greatest scorer ever and a great defensive player, but they would have gotten rings. Once they got Scottie, they started to get to that level. And then when Horace Grant came along, it's like, okay, boom, here we are. And these people that are talking about Detroit, said Detroit made the Bulls. It made them angry. All those games that Detroit would beat them, and it's like, okay, they finally got over that hump. And then they won 3, and then Dennis Rodman came along. And let's face it, if Michael doesn't go and play baseball, the Bulls win 8 in a row. No problem.
There are a lot of people who believe that. There are other people who argue with you, and I think that there are arguments in that. That maybe the East is a little tougher in those 2 years and Michael's gone. Maybe you can't stop Olajuwon and the Rockets. Would have loved to have seen it. Here's the thing, though. Don't care. Because then Mike came back, and then they won 3 more. And it was fun. Mike, do I need the break? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to get into the Bulls draft. There's a conversation that you need to hear that we had with Cody Westerlund about what the Bulls may do, and I want to follow that up with some stuff that he wrote today that will be of particular interest to you. We'll do that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.